Thank you again, San Diego State Choir, for singing with us and for us. Well, today we continue our series of sermons on crucial commitments that matter. And we've looked at work, we've looked at rest, we've looked at leaving a legacy, and today we will look at our next crucial commitment in life. I began with this photo. He is still the all-time leading NCAA Division I scorer. He averaged over 44 points a game. And this was back in the day before the shot clock in college basketball or the three-point shot. He played for 10 years in the NBA. At the age of 40, young Pistol Pete Maravich, a young follower of Jesus Christ, and a picture of seemingly perfect health, died suddenly during a pickup basketball game. The cause of his death was a rare heart defect, and although he was seemingly in great shape, having just retired a few years earlier and being one of the greatest all-time, greatest college basketball players of all time, and in perfect health, the cause of his death was due to a heart defect that had been undiagnosed. And he died because his physical heart had a serious problem. A person's athletic ability doesn't reflect the condition of his or her heart. Here's another photo for you. Recognize this two-time Olympic gold medal winner, the gentleman here, Sergei Grinkov. He died suddenly of a heart attack at the age of 28. He was practicing with his wife, pictured there with him, at Lake Placid in New York. And he just sat down on the ice and died. A person's athletic ability doesn't always reflect the condition of his or her heart. And so the question this morning is, how is your heart? How are things with your heart? And we all know people who eat whatever they want to eat all the time. This person's idea of a healthy meal is a chicken fried bacon sandwich on Krispy Kreme donuts with a side of deep fried butter. And he washes it down with a 2 liter of Mountain Dew. Yet, his heart passes every diagnostic test with flying colors, and his cholesterol and his blood pressure and his resting heart rate are all super low. You may be here this morning and you are a CrossFit junkie, but a person's athletic ability doesn't always reflect the condition of his or her heart. I need some help. I need someone to go with Jessica. Who is it, Jessica? Oh, I didn't dismiss the first to fourth graders. That's totally my bad. Time out. First to fourth graders. If you'd like to stay, you're welcome to stay, but if you want to go, this is your chance. Where's the communication major? I figured I'd give you something to write about. See you guys. I was wondering why there was so much commotion and people were making... Okay. One more. Don't be so nice. Just tell me. I thought she was coming up here for one of you all because your kid was crying in the nursery and they didn't put the number up or something. They wanted all your kids. A person's athletic ability does not reflect the condition of his or her heart. External behavior isn't always an accurate gauge of what is going on the inside. So the question this morning is, how are things with your heart? And I don't mean how are things with this. I mean how are things with your heart? I invite you to turn in your copies of the scriptures to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 440. So find your place in the Bible, either Pew Bible, your own Bible that you brought, your smartphone, your tablet. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, as we consider today the crucial commitment of the heart. Page 440, Proverbs 4:23. I'd like to project for you my text for this morning from several different Bible translations. First of all, the NIV, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's my text this morning, simply one sentence. Above all else, guard your heart. That's the crucial commitment. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another way to state it, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Another restatement, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the sources of life. And again, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And finally, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. I'm going to explain what Proverbs 4:23 means by answering four questions this morning. Question number one, what is the heart? We're not talking about that physical muscle that sits in your chest. So what is the heart? Second question, what does it mean to guard your heart? A third question, why is it important to guard your heart? And fourthly, how do you guard your heart? Question number one, what is the heart? Proverbs 4:23 tells us that here in this simple statement, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. So what is the heart? The heart is used in common expressions more than any other part of the body. And so we say things like, we need to have a heart-to-heart talk. Any of you ever say that to your spouse or to your kids? We need to have a heart-to-heart talk. Or, I feel a hole in my heart. Or we might say to someone, in your heart, you know it's true. Or you might say, I have a heavy heart. I have a heavy heart. When I drove over Interstate 8 this morning and saw all the wreckage strewn everywhere that I'd seen on the news this morning, I had a heavy heart. Or we might say, she has a good heart. Or my heart is set on that job. Some of you who are graduating, you're looking ahead going, I've had that interview. I've been back for a second interview. My heart is set on that job. Or you might say to someone, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Or you might say to someone, you are young at heart. I love hearing that. I don't know about you, but if someone were to say to me, you are young at heart, I'd go, yes, oh. At some point in our lives, most of us have pondered the question, who am I really? Maybe you've pondered an even more important question, who am I becoming? These are heart questions. The heart represents who we really are, and it tells us who we are in the process of becoming. The heart stands for the whole person. And so heart and person are virtually one and the same. The heart is our core personality. The heart is what makes you, you. The heart is like this. This is Mission Control in Houston. The heart is your mission control. The heart is your true identity. The heart includes your emotions and your feelings and your affections and all of your deepest moral and spiritual convictions. And so when I say heart today, what I'm really talking about is what's really deep inside of you and what makes you, you, and who you are. It is in your heart that your character is formed. The heart is our true identity, so how is your heart today? Proverbs 4:23 says to us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so the Bible uses the word heart to describe who we are at our core. This statement in Proverbs 4:23 is a proverb. It's from the book of Proverbs. And a proverb is simply a pithy saying that compresses a truth about life in a memorable way. And so a proverb is brief, it's memorable, it's profound, it's deep. It's a soundbite. A proverb is a summarizing observation about life, or it's an admonition about life, or it's a warning about life, or it's a prohibition about life. And the very best proverbs are those that say the most with the fewest words. Brevity is what makes a proverb easier to remember. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. There is nothing mysterious about a proverb. We speak proverbially every time we make statements like bad company corrupts good morals. You ever hear that proverb? When I was growing up, a proverb I heard frequently is, if you lay down with dogs, you come up with fleas. It's another way of saying bad company corrupts good morals. In Texas, where we lived for 17 years, our three kids were born in Texas, never look a gift horse in the mouth. That's another way of saying, if someone's going to give you something, take it. Don't just stand there and look at them. Don't approach a goat from the front, a horse from the back, or a fool from any side. A proverb. Write injuries in sand, kindnesses in marble. I love this one. Two experts never agree. Don't insult the alligator until you've crossed the river. After all is said and done, more said than done. There's no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. I would heartily agree with that. There is no pillow as soft as when you lay your head on your pillow at night and your conscience is clear. Do today what you want to postpone until tomorrow, you procrastinators. If you don't see the bottom, don't wait. Or another version of that, turn around and don't drown. We don't follow that one in San Diego. Whenever we get a little bit of rain, people just drive in anyway. Or this one, which might be one of the most well-known of all time. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I would add to that, you can drown him, though. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. These are the words in Proverbs 4:23 of a fictitious father and mother who are giving a lecture. You thought you were the first child to be lectured by your parents? Wrong. Here's a child being lectured in Proverbs 4:23 about how to live a wise life and guard his heart. So what is the heart? It's the real you. It's the core of who you are. Second question, what does it mean to guard your heart? Well, we don't guard worthless things. I take my garbage to the street every Thursday night. It's picked up on Friday morning. It sits in the street all night, and it's unguarded while it sits there in the street. Why? Because the garbage is worthless. Not so with your heart. Your heart is the essence of who you are. It is your authentic self. It is the core of your being. It is where all your dreams and your desires and your passions live. It's the part of you that connects with God and connects with other people. So think for a moment of something that is very valuable to you that you want to guard and you want to protect. Is it your smartphone? I suppose you keep it close to you so you don't walk off and leave it in class or on an airplane. Since you want to protect your bike, you use a bike lock when you park your bike on campus. If you want to protect your laptop, you may use a Kensington lock and anchor it to some massive structural column so no one can walk away with your MacBook. If you want to protect your car, you lock it. Some of you drive cars, like one of mine, that if they take it, it's worth more gone than present. If you're married, you want to protect your marriage. If you're aiming to graduate later this month, you want to protect your final projects and make sure you back them up, you send them to the cloud, you put them on something so that if your computer crashes, you don't lose it. If you take your grandchildren to the zoo, you want to keep them, protect them, and bring them home safely. If you want to guard and protect your health, you eat and drink healthily, and you get plenty of sleep, and you exercise 3 to 5 times a week. As important as it is to guard your stuff and to guard your health and to guard your grandchildren and to guard your grades and to guard anything else, make guarding and protecting your heart the highest priority in your life. Your heart represents you as a whole person. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. Be an expert on your heart. Keep a close check on your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. This is a command, and no one is in a better position to do this than you are. You are the best person to guard your heart. So what is the heart? It's the real you. It's the core of who you are. What does it mean to guard your heart? Protect your heart because it's valuable. Keep vigilant watch over your heart because it represents you as a whole person. Why is it important to guard your heart? Why is guarding your heart the highest priority in your life? The proverb says in the second half, for everything you do flows from it. The picture here is that your heart is like this, a mountain stream of water. This is from Yosemite. Your heart is the source of everything you do. Your heart controls the course of your life. That is why everything you do flows from it. Your heart overflows into thoughts and into words and into actions. The heart is at the core of who you are. It is the fountain of your values and priorities and beliefs and aspirations and pursuits. Your life is continually flowing out from your heart to impact other people. So if you want to change your life, you change your life by changing your heart. If your heart is unhealthy, it threatens everything else in your life, your family, your friends, your education, your career, your health, your legacy. It's therefore imperative that you guard your heart. I'd like to show you a photo of a young man. Some of you may recognize him. This is a photo of a 32-year-old young man named Benjamin Golden. A video of him went viral last fall. He was the head of mobile commerce and innovation for Taco Bell. And last fall, he was arrested in Orange County for assaulting an Uber driver in Costa Mesa. There was a dash cam video that shows this executive, Taco Bell executive, Ben Golden, punching the Uber driver. Taco Bell responded by firing their young executive. When Golden was interviewed by major media outlets, he said this. I want you to listen to this closely, what he said. Quote, it is not me in the video. End quote. The truth is that it is Golden in the video. I remember sitting there watching it on the news going, what do you mean that's not you in the video? It sure looks like you. It's not me in the video. The truth is it is Golden in the video. when your public performance becomes too far removed from who you are in your heart, you've been set up for trouble, and that's what happened to him. He went out, had a good time that night, had a few drinks, and acted a complete idiot. Didn't treat his Uber driver like a human being. It was recorded all on dash cam. He's sitting there watching the video going, "That's not me." Excuse me? That is you. Eventually, your heart, the real you, will outpace your attempts to monitor and modify what you say and what you do. The unresolved issues that are rattling around in your heart, undetected, will eventually work their way to the surface. This wasn't the first time that he had issues with alcohol. He had a DUI when he lived in Louisville, Kentucky in 2012. He had his license suspended. What do you mean that's not you? Whatever thing is growing in your heart will eventually worsen to the point that you are no longer able to contain and restrain it with carefully managed words and behavior. And just as a person's athletic ability doesn't always reflect the condition of his or her heart, likewise, our external behavior doesn't always reflect the condition of our hearts. All is not as it seems. And so Proverbs 4:23 encourages us to keep a close check on our hearts, because everything we do flows from the heart. So when you think of your heart as a mountain stream of water from which your words and actions flow, it brings to mind the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. From your heart flow your thoughts, feelings, and choices. So I'm going to just take a time out for a moment. We have 23 of our students who need to leave for another performance. And so thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Guard your hearts. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. Do you see that? Your heart is the source. Everything that you do comes from your heart. Mark chapter 7, Jesus puts it this way: from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. That's quite a list. Where does it come from? The heart. Your heart is the source. Everything that comes out of your mouth, everything that comes out of my mouth, comes from our hearts. Our heart will seep into our conversation. Some more words from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So Proverbs 4:23 says to us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Allow me to illustrate the principle of flow, which simply means that our words overflow from what is already in our heart. So I have some water here. And I'm going to do something with this water. You ready? Why is there now water on the floor? Why are you laughing at me? I'm the pastor of the obvious. I poured it on the floor. That's why you're just like, what do you think? How do you think it got there? Why is there water on the floor and not coffee from Aroma? And not Red Bull? Shout out to Joel J. And not Diet Coke? And not Red Kool-Aid? Why is there water and none of those other beverages? Now, besides the fact that I would have gotten into major trouble with the custodian if I poured Red Bull or Red Kool-Aid on the carpet, the truth is there's water on the floor because there had been water in this bottle. Similarly, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside us determines what comes out of us. What's inside of us determines what comes out of us. Jesus gives us the reason why people do evil, wicked, bad things, and sometimes even Christian leaders stop guarding their hearts and then do evil things. Why do our hearts slip and we stop guarding them? The prophet Jeremiah answers that good question for us. We studied his life earlier this year in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It's on the screens. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Left to its own natural state, our hearts are really messed up. But Jeremiah isn't giving us the whole truth about our hearts. There is hope for our hearts to be made new by the love of God. Perhaps you've come face to face with the emptiness in your own heart. Don't despair. God is pursuing you and calling out to you with his love. If you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you, the Bible tells us, receive a new heart with good qualities that need to be guarded and protected. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our hearts and lives that we read about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so Proverbs 4, 23 says, so above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. There's a battle going on for our hearts. That is why we make statements like, it's not me in the video. That's not like me. Or, I don't know where that came from. Or, I can't believe I did that. Our words and our actions are really a reflection of what is really swirling around in our hearts. And when we don't like the things that we keep doing and keep saying, there is a solution. If we deal with the source, then we've dealt with the problem. So what is the heart? It's the real you. It's the core of who you are. What does it mean to guard your heart? Protect your heart because it is valuable. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. Pay close attention to what's going on deep inside the core part of you. Why is it important to guard your heart? Why should that be the highest priority in your life? Because it is in your heart that your character is formed. That is the place of transformation. Your heart is the source. Everything that comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So how well am I at guarding and keeping my heart? Is the condition of my heart the greatest concern of my life? It should be, because it determines every aspect of my life. Your heart determines who you are and what you do. And so my fourth and final question of the morning is, how do you guard your heart? How do you guard something that you can't even see? How do we monitor what's going on inside in that secret place that has potential to go public at any moment on an Uber dash cam video or some other means? How can you keep a close check on your heart? I just have three simple suggestions for you. First of all, become self-aware. Become self-aware. Don't be a stranger to your heart. How are we to do this? Most of you are familiar with the concept of a dashboard and its gauges. This is what the dashboard of my car looks like, identical to this. you know what the dashboard's like. You drive along the road, and there's certain information that you need, and you need to have it close at hand as you drive. What speed are you going? That's a very important thing to know for most of us. What speed are you going? How much fuel do you have left in the tank? How many of you have less than a quarter of a tank of gas in your car right now? Ooh. I start looking for gas when it gets to be half. That probably tells you more about me than you need to know. But you have your fuel. You say, you know, Pastor Carlton, I know how much gas is in my car. Jesus is my co-pilot. We're fine. What is your engine temperature? Last year, I was constantly watching the temperature of my engine rise due to mechanical malfunction one Saturday. If I had not been vigilantly watching that gauge and guarding it, I would have ruined my engine. Instead, I saw it go, woo! And I pulled over, I called for a tow truck, and for my wife to come and rescue me. My dashboard displays a lot of information about my car. What would a dashboard for your heart look like? Let me give you some examples of warning lights that you might see in your dashboard. Fear, pride, greed, self-pity, resentment, grudges, anger, hardness. There is a such thing as a hard heart. Excessive busyness, we talked about that last Sunday. Disengagement, apathy, any sense of just kind of going through the motions in life. Remember that God says to you, guard your heart, not your neighbor's heart, not the person sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you. Guard your heart. No one can know the impulses that lurk in your heart better than you. So be honest with yourself and identify the impulses of your heart that you personally need to guard against. Become more self-aware. Be honest with yourself. Watch the direction of the way things are moving in your heart and solicit and listen to feedback from others in your life and spend some time in quiet, regular reflection. Get into the habit of doing regular postmortems on each day of your life. Ask good questions of other people and then listen to them without justification, without defending your actions. Guard your heart. The insight that we have into other people's hearts comes in direct proportion to the time that we spend reflecting on our own hearts. And so the more time we spend strengthening and exercising our heart, the better we'll be at helping others do the same with theirs, because we can't take people to places we've never been to. My next suggestion for guarding your heart is live in honest community with others. Live in honest community with others. Arguably, in my view, this is the most important, probably. This is the best way to guard your heart but not suffocate it. None of us reach adulthood without a few dings to the heart. I don't think there's anyone here who's high school or older who does not have some dings that were dished out to their heart. In fact, I would lower the age to probably about 2. None of us reach adulthood without a few dings to the heart. Our response to those dings will determine in some part the condition of our hearts. We cannot control how people treat us. We cannot stop their hurtful words, but we can monitor the effect on our hearts. And perhaps we can reverse the wounds and the damage by living in authentic community now and experience relational healing as we taste and experience the opposite of what the wound was. That's one of the best ways for your wounded heart to be healed, is to taste the opposite of what the wound is in authentic community, loving community with other people. Remember the second priority of the early church? It's our year verse for the year, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'm all about teaching. To the fellowship. It's right there with teaching. Authentic community, not drive-by teaching reception, where you just do a drive-by on Sunday. You come in, get your teaching, and then you leave. The apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, authentic community. You and I were made to live in relationship to others. In fact, the very foundation of reality is relational. Before the world was created, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived together in perfect love and unity. But in a world of social media and artificial connections, we must be intentional about building authentic relationships and real community. This means making quality time for our family members and friends and for relationships, and it means taking initiative to invest in those we love. The personal payoff is huge. The right relationships in our lives open us up to a world of learning and encouragement and accountability, and it's a two-way street. When we're in meaningful relationship with others, we can provide meaningful relationship for them as well. My third and final suggestion for you on how to do this is form good habits in your life. I have a quote for you. It's three slides. Your habits are, in fact, it's from David Mathis. Your habits are, in fact, one of the most important things about you. Those repeated actions you take over and over almost mindlessly reveal your true self over time, as much as anything else. Our habits are windows into the deep things of our soul. Character, Michael Horton says. Michael Horton is a theologian who lives in North County. Character, Michael Horton says, is largely a bundle of habits. Take a careful assessment of any person's habits, and soon you can tell with little margin for error what really captures his or her heart. But our habits not only show our hearts, but shape them as well. We're always reinforcing habits or forming new ones. If Jesus truly is our Lord, Savior, and the greatest treasure of our lives, we'll desperately want to have him reflect in the habits of our lives, and we'll find it well worth the effort and energy to cultivate a modest new habit or two toward making him increasingly to be our greatest joy. Form good habits in your life. And the habits you form may, because of the condition of your heart, be different from the habits I form. But form good habits in your life. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Would you say that with me? Let's say it together. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let's say it together one more time. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How are things with your heart?